You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Wednesday, November 17th, and that can mean only one thing. It's time for a Brady Quinn football show. Pew, 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 pew. Pew, 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 pew. Pew, pew,
pew. Those laser beams, or whatever the hell we're calling them, they're kind of falling to the wayside, because the origin of how they came about was the Miami Hurricanes and being there for that practice. I mean, that's how it all came about.
I was like, are the laser beams getting canceled too? Like, how?
They might be. I mean, look, they lost to Florida State this past week.
Oh, embarrassing loss.
Their athletic director has been fired. It seems like their head coach is probably on the way out too. So, yeah. I'd say this much. When you go to practice now, down in Coral Gables, to see the Hurricanes, I don't think you're getting the same beer, 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 beer,
beer. It's sort of like a non-Brady Quinn football show. Like, pew, 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 pew. All right. If you don't want to just hear us make bizarre laser sounds for 3 minutes on a podcast, you can also see us make bizarre laser sounds on a podcast by going to youtube.com/pick6, or search for Pick Six Podcast in YouTube. We have lots of live shows as well. Tuesdays, we do a live mock draft show. Thursdays, Pick Show Live with myself, RJ White, and Pete Prisco. And then Sunday, Monday, and Thursday, after every single primetime game, we recap that game on YouTube and give away hats and stuff in the chat. In fact, on the last show, on Monday night's recap, we give away Brinson Sucks hats.
When am I getting my hat?
Talk to Wilson, talk to Debo. Wilson, well, I think Wilson is mailing them all to Debo, and Debo can probably get one to you in Florida. Debo, would that be acceptable?
Oh, yeah. I can easily get it to Brady in Florida.
Okay, cool. Yeah. We'll get Brady one, and then Brady is going to hopefully wear...
You need to just have me on with Wilson and let me and him just talk about the draft. All right? Let us get into it. I've been trying to like push him to make certain moves. Like, I'm trying to get him to put Aiden Hutchinson as the first overall pick instead of Kayvon Thibodeau, just because... Oh. I mean, one, the guy's been way more productive versus better tackles and a better conference. But again, I digress. David Ojabo from Michigan, like, no one's to talk about him. That dude is having a hell of a season. If you watch Aiden Hutchinson, you're going to see a lot of David Ojabo. So
is this a Fox Big Ten thing where you're trying to push the Big Ten agenda over SEC in the competing network?
Well, Kayvon Thibodeau actually plays for Oregon in the Pac-12.
All right.
So, you've got LSU. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, no.
Oh, they beat LSU, Oregon.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, yeah, it's okay. Like, you're still trying to like put together. They actually did.
Oh, UCLA, I was thinking.
It's all right. Well, hey, let's do this. Okay. Let's do this. Okay.
Thibodeau is definitely a name that you could see, that you could have in Louisiana.
Sure. It's just not the player that everyone's projected to be number one overall.
I was thinking Derek Stingley.
It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Like, hey, you know NC State. That's your universe. Let's go to NFL now. Let's talk about some NFL ball. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, you know what we should do? We should blame Odell Beckham for the Rams' loss on Monday night, because inevitably, if this season doesn't work out, everyone's just going to blame the guy, right? Like, everyone's just going to blame him for Matt Stafford playing poorly and the offense not clicking. Like, he just gets blamed for everything nowadays.
What did you – I mean, I am curious what you thought about the Odell Beckham acquisition, though, and – so Robert Woods, Odell Beckham, they signed on Thursday. Robert Woods tears his ACL on Friday. That's really probably more than anything what threw the Rams offense off a little bit, was Van Jefferson sliding into that role while blending Odell Beckham in. Like, to lose a guy like Robert Woods, who's been so steady, so reliable, such a good run blocker, you know, in that timing where you're bringing Odell in and you have to incorporate these other young guys, that really, I think that could be what threw them off. And also, the Niners just played great.
Well, you're looking for that reliable other option. Like, that's what you're looking for. You have Cooper Kupp, but he's your slot. He's your kind of interior player. You need that outside presence. Robert Woods, who also will carry the football from time to time on jet sweeps, those sorts of things. I do appreciate you pointing out the run blocking. But Yeah, I mean, Van Jefferson isn't there yet to be able to take over that role. And Odell Beckham's not quite the same receiver. Like, I would, you know, I see Robert Woods as more of an off the ball player, a guy who you're going to compliment either on the same side as Cup in a stack in a 3-by-1 set, or you're all the way outside on a 3-by-1 set, something like that. You know, Odell is more of, to me, your X. Like, you put him at the X receiver, you isolate him. And that's kind of what you saw, I think, early in the game, right? They throw him a 3-step. It looked like a hitch route, stop route, something like that. But they get him the football early, just kind of get him going. You know, the interception was just a forced throw, bottom line. Like, that was a bad decision on Stafford. Like, don't put that on Odell Beckham. I don't know what the hell he was thinking. It wasn't like he got past the secondary. The 49ers were back there waiting like it was a punt. I mean, Jimmy Ward was, like, running forward like it was a fly ball in the outfield. So that's not on Odell Beckham. But the point is, it's going to take a little bit for them to gel. And honestly, this is what it exposes. It exposes the fact that Sean McVay has gotten away from his roots, and that's running the outside zone. Like, we can act like, well, oh, it's Todd Gurley. He's not there anymore. They don't have that running back. You know, Cam Akers isn't back. Okay, but that's the roots of this offense. Like, there's a reason why Kyle Shanahan is 6-3 versus the Rams. It's because that's the actual origin of Sean McVay's offense. It really stems from the Shanahan system. And every time Shanahan plays him, he kind of teaches him a lesson.
He beats his ass last 5 times.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, yep, that's – he's always got something for him, and, like, McVay can never adjust. So moving forward, like, they could be pass happy all they want because they have Stafford. That's not going to help them win a Super Bowl. They got to learn how to run the football, especially as the playoffs are coming sooner. And then they'll start to kind of let Van Jefferson and Odell Beckham grow into those roles in the passing game.
I got a couple follow-ups on this, and then we'll get to we'll talk some more NFC West. Maybe we NFC West theme, because
yeah.
So I'm curious. Like, I thought that I don't know that Sean McVay is necessarily a good in-game coach, or I don't, maybe not. That, let me rephrase that. I think that Sean McVay gets erroneous credit for being an aggressive in-game coach when he is really more inherently conservative in his decision-making process. Like, he's down 24. I mean, I know they're not going to score 3 touchdowns, but, like, if you're playing to win, if you're throwing the ball with Matthew Stafford down 24 points, if you're exposing your quarterback to injury down 24 points and you are trying to score touchdowns, you should not kick a field goal to make it 21 points, right? And then people are like, well, he's just trying to save Stafford. He's out there getting killed. And he brought him back out for the next series. Like, put John Wolford in if you're giving up.
I got to be honest with you, I don't care about that. I think the biggest thing right now you're seeing in the league is more of a trend. And forget, like, this topic. It's just there's so many times, like, early in the second half in games, you see teams down by a lot, and they start, like, going for fourth downs instead of just taking the field goal. And, look, obviously it's not automatic to get the field goal, but how many times then have we seen at the end of a game you're going – huh, it's like a 9-point game, and had they just kicked the field goal the 2 other times instead of going for a fourth down, we'd be having a different conversation right now. Like, it's almost like everyone's, like, overcorrected, and they, like, don't want to be bashed by the analytics nerds. And they're like, no, we need to keep going for fourth downs. You know, like, don't take the points. Like, I'm sorry. There's few, like, and I think this is more the logic behind it in my mind. Like, I think you could, like, you can make the argument either way. If you're a bad football team, like, oh, you have to go for fourth downs because, you know, that's what you have to do to win the game. I see it the other way. If you're a bad football team, you have to take points when you can get them because you might have just caught a good football team on a bad day. Like, we saw that 2 weeks ago where you had a number of teams that are good football teams, the Dallas Cowboys, for example, who got absolutely blown out by the Denver Broncos, who, you know, we see this past week. Some of their players are making business decisions, you know, during the game. They're just absolute turning down.
Did you ever get caught making a business decision on an interception return?
No, I was. Well, first off, that was a fumble return, but I was always so mad. And this was, like, started when I was young because I played both ways. But, like,
it's that classic chop of temper, isn't it? Carries
I
down
would
to
just,
the
my eyes would light up and I would beeline. Like, you know what's funny is, it's almost like shooting basketball. Like, you know, when you, like, let go of the ball and you're like, oh, I missed that shot. You usually have the best feel for where the ball is going to go off the rim or off the backboard. So, like, sometimes that shooter has a good chance of actually getting his own rebound.
Sure.
I always felt like that. Like, when if you threw a football and you're like, oh, like, that's a tight window or the ball gets tipped or whatever else, like, you had the best feel of anyone of knowing where that ball is going. So I always, like, when I was young, just grew up to, like, beeline towards the ball and make that tackle, like, quick. And so even in the NFL, like, I had a few tackles. Like, if I threw a pick, I was pissed. And I wanted to go after the guy and try to make a tackle on the play. So I wish I could have said I played long enough and successful enough to be able to make a business decision. But that's the thing with Teddy Bridgewater is he was in the predicament because in his career, he hasn't been able to earn the right to be a franchise guy yet, where he can like turn that down and everyone's gonna be like, yeah, we don't need him getting hurt. You know, everyone watching film the next day for him is like, dude, we're in the same position you are. Like, you got to make that tackle because we got to make plays to stay on this roster. So I think that was the hard part, the hard pill to swallow of all that, probably for everyone watching that tape.
It doesn't apply to Tom Brady, of course, right? Tom Brady's fine.
That's why he popped the squat. You see the one he threw over the middle? He didn't even move. Sad. He just like bent over.
He got mad at himself. Was like, no, I'm not chasing that thing. I'm Tom Brady.
Why would you at that point?
Yeah, 44-year-old Tom Brady.
No one can touch you. In fact, if someone bumps into you, like, you pretty much can draw a flag at that point, the way the rules are now. If you don't move, you're like as protected as you can be. You might as well have the Secret Service out on the field with you once you throw a pick as a quarterback, and especially if you're a franchise guy. Like, you get that protection. Like, you get dudes running out, talking in their sleeve like this, like protecting the quarterback from anything that could happen.
Keep an eye on Quinn. Keep an eye on 12.
Make sure Brady, make sure Tom doesn't get out of here. All right, the Eagle has landed.
You're 10, I guess, 10 and 9. Is that right?
What?
That's what you were, number 10 and number 9.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what it says on Pro Football Reference anyway, with the little brown color. But I have bad news for you. Pro Football Reference does not credit you with any tackles. You do have 2 fumble recoveries, though.
Right. I do have a tackle. I tackled Ray Lewis. So I threw a pick. What? We're in Baltimore, 2009. I think Chris McAllister picked it off, but he pitched it. And I remember, like, it was right on the sidelines that I literally went and, like, hit him, like, as he was going out of bounds. So, again, I don't care what Pro Football Reference says. I know it. You can go back and watch the interception, week 3, 2009 in Baltimore. It happened. First half of the game. I want to say it was like this, maybe second quarter or end of the first quarter.
Wait, Ray Lewis, did you – I forgot about this. Greg Rosenthal wrote this on Pro Football Talk in November 17th, 2009. Wait a minute. That's – oh, my God. That's like 12 years ago today. Ray Lewis calls out Brady Quinn for, quote, cheap shot. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was after a different tip pick. But
yeah, it was, you were going after Terrell Suggs, apparently.
He said I thought Terrell Suggs had the ball, and I went to tackle him, but like I didn't see him or like who had the ball, but I basically dove as soon as I got around our right tackle. I think we've talked about this like 3 separate times on this podcast. But somehow every single time we talk about it, it's like new information to Will.
Well, that's really how my entire life operates. I don't remember this one. Maybe
you're
I do.
Like a Labrador. You have a short-term memory.
I'm like a goldfish. I'd be a great quarterback.
Or a goldfish, yeah.
Right. Quinn denied wrongdoings in comments distributed by the team. And you pointed out, I don't remember this one. Padima, am I crazy if we talked about this one already?
We've definitely talked about this.
I don't remember this one as well. Okay.
Yeah, you're like, I worked out with Terrell Suggs. I'm not diving at his legs to take him out. You're an honorable guy. You're not taking out somebody's legs with a cheap shot.
Well, the thing is, I didn't even see him. And so they made a big deal about it. And I was like, I didn't see the guy. I don't know what to tell you. I don't even know to tell you. Like, I thought I was tackling the ball carrier. He didn't even have it. It wasn't like it was like some Mac Jones deal where, you know, the ball's not even close to him. And like Brian Burns is getting up. He's twisting his ankle. I literally wrote, like ran over to try to cover the play. It was a tip pick off Mike Furry's chest on an inside slant route. And I was just trying to make a tackle on the ball carrier.
Did, man, if that happened now, like just, you know, Ray Lewis 2021 calls you out for that, like you're getting like a billion, like Instagram messages from a bunch of like Ravens fans who are angry. But 2009 was easier. You just sit out. Plus, like, what? Get out of here. Ray Lewis is asking for you to get fined. That's ridiculous.
You act like it's hard now. Do you think players like pay attention to all the social media stuff?
I think some of them do.
Like you guys do, because you guys are nerds and you guys did like got it. Like later on, you're like, oh, let's pay attention to it. It's like I just saw Tua Sunday, and it's like these guys don't care. Like they're already like callous to it. They don't care. They know how to manage it. They have people who manage it. Like that's the thing. Is like it's out of sight, out of mind. That's the funny thing.
My wife has sent my dog up into the office for some reason. He just got a haircut. Very exciting. Get lost, George. Anyway, let's move on. Sorry, I've derailed the podcast once again. as is my want. Russell Wilson didn't play well on Sunday. That should be no surprise to anyone who listens to this podcast, because Brady told you all about the injury and the problems associated with it, and pointed out when we were talking about this that it was probably going to be an adjustment period for Russell Wilson when he returned to the NFL, regardless of how quickly he got the pins out of his hand, and that he's probably going to struggle with accuracy to a degree. And lo and behold, you were right again, Brady.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about being right. It was unfortunate. I mean, the reality is, you know, you're going to have to deal with a new normal as far as how your, you know, hand feels releasing the football. And you could tell there wasn't as much zip. There wasn't as much accuracy, especially downfield. I think he had a hard time, you know, throwing that tight spot where we're used to seeing. So I think all those things kind of played a factor. And I'm not saying he won't be able to get back to playing at a higher level, but it might take a little time. Like, I think he could have used a couple more weeks off, rehabbing, trying to adapt to what is the new normal of probably how it feels to throw a football for him. But I mean, even the way he went about trying to elude pressure in that game, you could tell he was like uber concerned about the way he was holding on the football. Like, he knew he didn't have as strong of a grip holding it with one hand. And he almost just kind of curled up, put two hands on the ball, and went down when he got sacked. It wasn't your typical Russell Wilson, I'm going to scramble around, try to make a play. Like, he kind of gave up on plays a little quicker than he normally does for him.
Yeah, it was. And his ball placement was off.
Even the short routes, you could tell, like, it just, he wasn't as accurate. And you could just tell, like, the ball didn't pop off his hand like it normally does. Nope. You know, usually he throws those things like a missile. You didn't see it. And so it might take a little bit of time before he's able to adapt or adjust to it.
Well, what do you think? He ended up being 20 of 40 for 161 yards and two picks. First time in his career the team was shut out, and it happened in his 150th career start. What do you think the timeline is for Russ before he starts to maybe look and feel, throw a little bit more normally? And is there anything the Seahawks can do to sort of mitigate him having to deal with all the stuff that he'll have to deal with here?
You know, run the ball. play deep, good defense like they did in that game, run the ball. You know, I got mine. So I literally, when I hurt mine in 2008, I tried to play the following week. And so I dealt with this. Like, during that practice week was awful. Like, my OC was looking at me.
You got hurt against Houston and then tried to play against Buffalo?
Vice versa. Hurt against Buffalo early in that game, first quarter, finished it out. Didn't really find out how bad it was till the next week. And then at that point, I was like, all right, I want to try to give it a go. And just could not, like, there'd be times when the ball would come off okay. And then there'd be other times where it was just like, it felt like you couldn't control it. And at that point, there was like, okay, let's get the surgery. Let's get the pins put in. Let's fix this. The problem was we had 6 weeks left in our season. And that was how long I had two pins put in. That's how long they needed to stay in and set. So my season was over. So I had an entire offseason to kind of adapt and adjust all of that. I'll be honest, though, like, to this day, like, it doesn't feel how it did before. I mean, it's like that with a lot of surgeries. You just adapt and adjust to a new normal. Like, I always explain, like, if you had surgery before?
I've had my wisdom teeth and tonsils taken out, but that's it.
Okay. So, case in point, when you have them first initially taken out, I assume you're in pain, right?
Well, I mean, Yes. You go through a
period of time because you put in some painkillers, right? And you're like managing the pain. But when you first start actually eating food and using your teeth, like, there's still probably a little pain. It probably feels a little awkward, right? Eventually, you just get kind of numb to it and you adjust to it. And that's just what your body realizes is this new normal. That's like most surgeries. Like, I remember having my back surgery and like the complications I had with drop foot. They're like, oh, does it feel better? I'm like, no, like, none of this feels better. Like,
yeah.
I'm just going to have to like rehab and adapt to whatever this my body can do now. So there's like all those sorts of things that I think Russell's going to have to deal with. It might take him a few weeks. You know, it might take him a few weeks until he's able to like to finally feel adjusted or adapted to it. He may be tinkering with like a glove or something else that he puts on his hand because he didn't have a glove on his hand in that game. That might be something he decides to go to help that grip. So a lot of things to figure out.
Yeah, and I want to say that Russell has never really had a major surgery before. This might be I don't recall anything at NC State, and unless he had one in high school or, you know, I mean, by and large, he's been an extremely healthy individual. So you're talking about a guy who
rehabs 19 to 20 hours a day. I mean, think about that.
And made sure everyone knew about it too.
Yeah, he's got no time for sleep.
Yeah, no. Yeah, exactly. And the other thing about Russ too, I feel like, you know, I guess this doesn't get talked about enough just because, you know, I think a lot of quarterbacks are probably somewhat like anal retentive, or, I mean, obviously detail oriented. You sort of have to be at the position, but I feel like Russ very into controlling his environment and things being what he's used to. And I sort of wonder, you know, psychologically, does that have an effect with the hand and the way that it feels? I mean, you work through it because you're a professional quarterback and you're an athlete and you'll figure it out. But I mean, that has to be sort of a mental challenge for a guy like Russ, who's never really dealt with any sort of surgery, right?
Yeah. I mean, confidence is everything. Like, I can't understate it. I really can't. And it sounds so simple to people, but like, everyone out there has a job. Like, imagine going for a presentation or going in to try to get a job, an interview, and you don't seem confident. You seem timid. Like, people can look across from you and be like, I don't know if this person can execute. I don't know if they're right for us or the right hire. And so imagine your job is throwing a football to a spot before the player is even there. And it's going to be between a bunch of people who want to pick that off and help you lose your job. Like, I remember, like, for example, throwing with a glove. I practiced once I got out to Denver. I got traded there in 2010. Every single off day, I practiced throwing with a glove. Hmm. And the reason was is because when it got cold in Cleveland, I always liked the grip on my off hand, because that's, you know, when you take a snap under center, your bottom hand, right, when you're right-handed quarterback, your left hand, you know, that's where you're going to kind of help secure the ball, see the ball once you get the snap. And I loved how, like, in the cold games, it kept that hand warm and it gave you a little extra grip on the ball. And because those things are really grippy. But I was like, man,
a glove on the non-throwing hand.
A glove on my non-throwing hand. Yeah. And then this hand would be bare because I always wanted to feel the ball. I wanted to feel it come off my fingers. And so once I left to go to Denver, I was like, you know, I really should practice with throwing with the glove on. And reason being was, is, you know, it gets cold, your hands get, you know, numb, that sort of thing. But I had experienced the finger injury. And I was like, this is something that, like, might be helpful moving forward. And because your glove has such a good grip, you don't have to get a great grip of the football. So you could still spin it and you could still throw it no matter how you kind of grip the ball, because the grip of your glove is so good. I practiced forever with it. I never felt comfortable enough to ever utilize it in a game at any point, preseason, during the season, whatever. Never felt comfortable doing that. That's a really hard – and that was really because I didn't feel confident in it. Because in my back of my mind, I was like, if I throw a ball that gets picked off, I'm going to feel like it's because of the glove, whether it is or it isn't, because that's the difference. That's the one thing I'm doing differently.
And people would talk about it on the broadcast too, or like watching the game. Sure. Would be like, what, why is Brady wearing a glove? And yeah, I found some – yeah, I don't remember you playing with the glove.
Like, for Russell, any changes he makes with, like, what he puts on his hand, what he puts on his finger and all that, he's going to have to get to a point where he feels confident in being able to deliver the same types of balls he always had. And be able to throw that same type of way. So it's a mental hurdle. It really is. It's such a small injury, but it's so significant when you're talking about, like, it's like a piano player. Like, imagine a piano player had this sort of injury.
Or
it's going to feel different then, right?
Or, like, if you're, I mean, like, I'm not trying to comp the jobs here, but, like, a writer, if you're a writer and you mess up your hand, like, it's not fun. You know,
you're a hand model. If you're a hand model,
correct,
and you just mangle your hand,
well, that's like, really more of a, you can't force your way through showing off a beautiful hand when it's mangled, right? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, let's say you're Roy Munson, okay? Let's just take it back to, let's get our little movie reference in, okay? Let's say it's Kingpin, and you happen to get your hand stuck in the ball return, and you're losing that puppy.
Get it stuck. Big Earn and the crew jammed that thing. I guess it wasn't Big Earn, but it was the guy, the priest. He comes off. He's like, Father, help me. He's like, shut up, kid. And just jams the hand down in there.
But imagine that. Like, yeah, it's going to feel a little different. You got a hook on your hand or whatever prosthetic you're trying to roll, you know, bowl a ball down the alley. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be a little different.
So. Yeah, for sure. Good. That's a good
– just a little different, yeah.
Well, Bigger and McCracken. Yeah, I'm always disappointed that they didn't put the guy, Tim Doyle, who did this Bill Murray thing, didn't include Bigger and McCracken on there.
I don't know. See, that's the thing about Doyle is, how could you not? Like, by the way, I don't know if you know the backstory of his character in Kingpin. Supposedly, Bill Murray ad-libbed the entire thing. Like, he took the script, he went to the director and producer and said, trust me, I got this. And they're like, yeah. Anyone else would probably been like, no way, dude, like, stick to the script. Or like, it's Bill Murray. He understands how to get this done.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And it arguably is one of the greatest characters in any movie of all time.
Without question. Well, I mean, I think that a lot of the stuff from Caddyshack with Chevy Chase and Bill Murray.
Yeah, they hate each other. Remember, they hate each other.
Yeah, yeah, but a lot of it was improvised.
Do you remember that? Like, they put that scene together where they're together at night and all that, and he comes in, gunga, gunga, bunga, you know, that
gunga,
whole thing.
Gunga, gunga, lunga.
Yeah. Yeah. They had to put it all in because they realized, like, oh, we shot this whole movie, and we don't have any scenes where they're together because they hate each other right now. They want to do it.
So we need one scene where the two best characters run across each other.
Cannonball! Cannonball!
Cannonball! Kentucky Bluegrass, Centimilia. Seattle is now the 14th seed in the NFC. They're 3-6. New Orleans at 5-4, Carolina at 5-5 are the two wildcard teams below the Rams.
Where did I see, though? They have like the fourth easiest schedule Seattle does the rest of the way.
Let's see what they have.
I saw that somewhere, but it said they were like the third or fourth easiest schedule the rest of the season. And because I was looking at like a number of teams you could throw into the category. All right, like who's kind of solidified their spot as a playoff team? The Titans schedule the rest of the way is so easy.
Like, oh my God, it's a joke.
I mean, they literally might run away in the AFC with the number one overall seed. That's crazy because, I mean, it's just their schedule, the division.
They haven't played the Texans yet. I think and they lost to the Jets. That's the crazy thing. Like, that's one of their two losses. The Seahawks have the Cardinals. They're at Washington on Monday Night Football in 2 weeks. The 49ers at home, at the Texans, at the Rams, Bears at home, Lions at home, at the Cardinals to close out the season. Doesn't seem quite as easy as maybe. Like, Tennessee's schedule is way easier. But, I mean, you would think that they're going to beat the Texans and the Lions. Right. You would hope. Should beat Washington, but I don't think that's a necessary. Although Monday Night Football, they probably take care of business. So they need to split with the Cardinals, in worst case, and beat the Bears and split with the 49ers and Rams. That gives them 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, you
five,
have to look
six.
At like how many losing teams are right now on their schedule the rest of the way. Like, obviously, the Cardinals twice. That's one of the best teams in the NFL. Is Kyler Murray back? Is Hopkins back? I mean, we saw how that played out this past week. Like, it was cool the first time around with Colt McCoy and that.
Yeah,
like,
it's not
clearly they missed those guys.
Right. Well, I guess, let's say that they go. I mean, I think 6-3 would be a pretty successful close to the season, right?
Yeah.
Does that get them in the playoffs?
I mean, I would say there's four games that you could definitely say are very winnable that they've got the rest of the way.
Yeah, I agree. Chicago, Detroit, Houston, and Washington.
Yeah.
All right. So if they get to six wins, they'd be 9-8. Do you think that gets them in as a wild card? It'd be close.
It kind of depends on what happens with the Rams, honestly. Like, I'm curious. Yeah. Well, Rams and Cardinals. Like, whoever wins the NFC West, but then what happens to like those two teams? Like, do they just fall off the face of the earth, or do they continue to kind of play good football and figure this thing out? I mean, it's a little easier to say like the Rams have more to figure out than the Cardinals. They just need to get Kyler Murray back. So
yeah,
Calamari is really
Kyler Murray. And the Rams Calamari. Have a bye, then they're at the Packers coming out of the bye. They could be 7-4 heading to, you know, playing Jacksonville at home the following week. They have some tougher games. I think they'll figure it out. I have faith in the Rams just because of the talent on the team. But I mean, the NFC West, I don't think the 49ers are dead. I know that people.
Okay,
good. I know that people listen to this podcast think I'm an idiot. They're like, these guys won't let the 49ers go.
Dude, did you see the MVP odds for Mahomes? They were cut in half after one game throwing for 400 yards, 5 touchdowns. And like, I feel like we talked about this the other week. If there's like one guy, you just go sprinkle money on them. Like, go sprinkle on them to win the division.
I said it everywhere. I was like, people were like, you're an idiot. What are you talking about? Mahomes can't win. I was
straight
like,
Super Bowl odds, like, right? It went from plus 5,000 to plus 2,200.
Yep.
In 1 week. Like, if you are a gambler and you're looking at the odds for an MVP, and it depends on the book, I get that. If you don't put money on that now, you're going to regret it 3 weeks down the road. I'm sorry.
Completely. I mean, what is he? I can't. Oh, is he 16 to 1?
He's not even on the list. Yeah, is he 16 to 1? Is that?
Yeah. You know, scroll up a little bit, Devo, because it's being covered. I mean, 16 to 1, he was 60 to 1 or 80 to 1 when we were talking about it last week. And we told people, I mean, I said on this podcast every day for like a week, look, take Mahomes now. If he has a great game against the Raiders, he's going to come flying back down. And here we are.
Well, you have to chalk it up to this too. Like, who else is anyone else running away with it?
No, exactly.
No.
Lamar had a chance to do it in laid an egg in Miami.
Fumbled on Thursday night.
Kyler's been hurt for a couple of weeks. Tom Brady
struggled the past two games.
Correct. Rodgers
is playing great, but he will not win it for this reason. Because he ticked off so many people who are voters with the whole situation. Like, I'm just telling you right now.
You're talking about the Alan Lazard situation? Playing,
No.
Are you talking about the offseason when he wanted to trade?
No, not talking about that either.
Are you talking about his hair?
No, not that either.
Led
to an amazing Halloween costume?
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, you're right. It did. Diva, can we even take a break? Sorry, I've probably botched this. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, take a break.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a few more things with Brady Quinn.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We essentially were talking about the NFC playoff picture anyway, which is what we were going to talk about. But because we got distracted by Bill Murray and Caddyshack and Kingpin talk, I forgot to take a break in the podcast, and we only have like five more minutes, maybe six. We'll see. But the NFC here, as you can see, Green Bay, the current one seed. All right, earlier on the podcast after the show on Monday, we got a podcast listener in the chat, and we did a four-person Super Bowl winner draft. In other words, Wilson had the first pick and took the Packers. Do you think, is that who you would take with the first overall pick? You have to have the team that wins the Super Bowl. That's all that matters.
So. You trust Aaron Rodgers. That team around him is playing well right now. So, that'd be the number one pick.
Okay. Who would be your number two pick?
I mean, I know the Bucs have struggled, but you just trust Tom Brady and the Bucs to figure it out. Yeah. Even though those are working against each other.
Yep.
So you'd have to pick an AFC team. But yeah.
I'm saying remember, there's four people. So you're not, if you pick Packers one, you're not getting the Bucs. The Bucs aren't coming back to you. Bucks did go two. At number three, Breach took the Bills. And that means I got the Chiefs at four, which I thought was the best.
I just feel like if you lose the Jacksonville, man, like it's all up in the air. Like it really is. It's the same reason why I feel like way about the Titans. Like as good as they are and the record states, it's like you lost to the Jets, man. Like it's scarring. It's like anyone who's been in a relationship before where it's a perfect relationship. Everything is going great. But do you remember that one time, like you saw this text message that was kind of like odd or like.
Or remember when I came back to the house and you were using the bathroom and the door was open? Like I'm sort of scarred from that, unfortunately. You know, like.
I don't know about that. I was saying, remember you came home to her, took an early flight home. You came home.
That's just the beginning of old school.
Gang bang.
Just another. I don't think you can say that.
It's like this is scarring incident. You're like, now I got trust issues. I can't trust them. I can't trust those teams moving forward. So.
Sure.
That's the problem with like some of the best teams, at least record-wise, is I just go, I don't know about them. Like I want to trust the Cardinals. They've lost two games, one of which Murray didn't even play in it.
Yep.
So if Calamari, if he's back,
Calamari.
All right. Calamari.
Calamari
back. Yeah, you Oh, you'd never heard that, like Quinn Williams, the way he says calamari?
No.
He says calamari's name like calamari.
Really?
Like the actual appetizer, yes.
We should Photoshop. Like, we should Photoshop a piece of calamari onto Kyler Murray's head.
You should, but it's the way Quinn Williams would say it when he's come out in the draft, talking about like the best team. Calamari's are you good? You know.
No, I gotta go listen to that.
Yeah, calamari.
I took the Rams over Dallas, and I sort of regret it.
Why?
No, I don't regret it. What am I talking about? But I think both of those teams. But do we still feel good that there are five teams locked into the NFC right now? Green Bay, Arizona, Dallas, Tampa Bay, and the Rams. Like those teams, the Rams, you can be a little bit worried about.
I think there's two spots for the rest. And like, I'm not buying the Saints, not with Simeon. I think the Vikings are the team that like they've got a sub 500 record and I still think they could find their way into it. The 49ers, I think they're the team that I'd say like has a shot.
Calamari on Kyler Murray so quickly, David. Look at that.
There you go.
I just have that same.
We've got the marinara sauce or cocktail sauce, whatever the hell that is.
I mean, Debo didn't exactly – he didn't use Photoshop for that. I mean, clearly.
No. Yeah. No. But well done. Well done, yes, Debo.
Well done.
Calamari.
Yeah, I think I'm with you in trusting New Orleans is tough. I mean, even with Sean Payton and that defense, you still have questions. Atlanta, people were trying to get on Atlanta this – like coming into last week. Come on.
Oh, my God. That was bad this past week. Equally as stunning as Denver. Just like – jamming it down the throat of Jerry Jones. Be like, how you like that, huh? Yeah. How you like that, Jerry?
Calamari? Like,
yeah, the next week he's like, I'm eating Falcons tonight for dinner. He's like, what's for dinner? Falcons. Fried Falcon. That's what I got. I got my boys ready for some fried Falcons.
Give me some of that Johnny Walker Blue.
How happy are you Carolina's back in the mix, huh?
Oh, I'm thrilled. I love Cam Newton.
Yeah.
With I got Cam. A little Cam bobble.
I mean, I'll just say this. I really was pulling for Cam. I just hate how, like, he gets in the game, he runs the ball in, and he gets a penalty. Like, I know we want to do the whole back thing. That's all cool. Do it on the sideline. Like, it's not like the camera's not going to follow you. And, like, at least there, you're not going to get a penalty. And I know, it didn't end up hurting them, but it was at a point in the game where it could have.
Like, fair.
It could have ended up hurting them.
The first touchdown, it was 7-0 when he scored. Yeah.
I know. So I'm like, it's not like you're kicking someone's ass right now and, like, you're not, like –
you also can yell, I'm back through your helmet.
You could do that too. Yeah. Like it's also, you can literally look at it and just go, I'm back. You can do that. You can have a t-shirt that says, I'm back.
Superman's back.
Yeah. It's like a hat, right? A hat that says like, Brinson sucks. But in this case, it'd be like, I'm back. You just put the hat on the sideline. Whoop.
So I think Carolina and San Francisco could end up getting those two spots. Minnesota as well. I mean, I wouldn't count Philly out. Seattle, I guess, if Russ can get right, it's gonna be fascinating to see. And again, New Orleans could still pull it off.
I just think Minnesota is a team to keep an eye on. Okay. I really do. I mean, here's the weird thing, though. I mean, not to get in a side tangent, it kind of hinders a little bit on like Dalvin Cook. Like, I'm not sure based on what's out there, like how he's still playing. I mean, the whole entire rationale for Ian Rappaport's report on Deshaun Watson and why he wasn't, if he was traded, going to be put on the exempt list was it wasn't violent in nature. And then you have what comes out with this lawsuit on Dalvin Cook and evidence that floats its way out there. And that's not like Photoshop. Like, that's real.
Right.
And that's as damning as it gets and as violent in nature as it gets. And somehow, like, 10 years after – that sort of stuff that came out about Ray Rice ended his career and other players who fell in that category, he's still out there playing. Like, I felt like it was an awkward position to listen to the announcers talk about Dalvin Cook, and yet all this stuff is going on off the field. So that's the only thing I think that I'm concerned by, just because obviously it's a different team if he's not out there playing. And at any moment, you'd think that they would want to act at some point.
Yeah, I think it would be impossible to know what Dalvin's status will be for the rest of the season, just because, I mean,
is it not a week to week thing at this point? Like, I kind of look at him like,
my understanding is that it's probably hinges on an outcome of a civil lawsuit, which is not going to happen by the end of the season. Same thing with Deshaun Watson, right? Or two, criminal charges being filed, at which point in time, if there were charges filed, Dalvin would be put on the exempt list. But the NFL,
which, by the way, I'm not like an attorney or anything, but I would think there's enough there to warrant criminal charges.
And certainly at least an investigation by the police department. I mean,
yeah, or the NFL for that matter, right? Like, that's already public knowledge. Like, some of this stuff, right, the NFL can't really meddle in because it's not like they're any sort of they have any sort of jurisdiction.
Right.
You know, they could ask anyone they want. And they're just like, yeah, go kick rocks. I have to deal with it.
They can't compel somebody to give them testimony or anything.
Like, yes. They're not like Jesus Christ, where the power of Christ compels you. You know, you can't do that with the NFL.
Do not have Jesus's jurisdiction, the NFL.
That's correct. Or like Roger Goodell might think he does, but he really doesn't.
Sometimes he acts he does.
Yeah. He has made $162 million over the past 2 years. So
not bad.
Maybe the power of Christ compels him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Richer financially than Jesus, more than likely, but not in spirit. So, you know, got that going for him. I don't know how we got here. Anywho, the NFC wild card race is going to be wild. It's going to be crazy. We'll keep focusing on it. Of course, Brady Quinn has to go do stuff and things. Watch him on CBS Sports HQ. Follow him on Twitter, right? Brady_Quinn, I believe, right?
I think I'll work with Pete right now.
I'm so sorry.
Everyone says that. Although Monday night, we did have George Kittle, first touchdown score of the game, that hit. That was plus 1,100. And somehow Pete and I agreed on that, which
I bet on George Kittle, first touchdown score, too.
There you go.
Hey, do you know that Pete on this text thread yesterday, he was like, I have been grinding tape all afternoon. Trust me, the 49ers cannot win. The Rams will destroy them. Right tackle? Problem? I think so. Like this long, like 10 text rant. And then it's like all of a sudden they're down 14-0. He's like, they will come back and watch. See, you will see. I can't just admit, just take the L, Pete. You were wrong.
I can't say much to him because I had an awful week of picks. Like we literally agreed on everything but two games. And the two games which is funny because like, obviously, we pick really early in the week.
Yeah.
And so, which is kind of unfair. We don't have injury news, all this stuff. Whatever. All right. That's part of the business we're in.
Yeah.
So, by Monday night, I actually took the 49ers 3.5, even though almost a week ago, I took the Rams when we first did it on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's the hard part is like,
You liked the 49ers by the time the game was like about to happen. But early in the week, you were on the.
Yes.
Yeah. I hate that too.
It's awful. And like, unfortunately, that's what we have to do. So Pete's beating me in picks this year. And I'm like, yeah, dude, we pick them basically 5 days out, 6 days out from the game. We have no knowledge. We're just all like looking back and not looking forward at what's going to happen in the game. Because, for example, Arizona, I don't know. I thought Kyler Murray was probably going to be back. So that was why I was picking that. And then here's the other thing is Pete doesn't let you go and change your pick. So
it's so weird how he does it. No, you cannot change. We are locked in. Yeah. I have to lock in. You have to lock in.
Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger being out or like Aaron Rodgers going out due to COVID, he was like, no, we can't switch. How are we going to switch? I was like, you and I can agree. Like, we don't like the Packers anymore in this game.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, no, it's not happening. Not happening.
That's a good Pete. All right. Go deal with Pete. Nobody wants to do it, but remind him that his tapes. I'll send you a text or something that he said stupid. You can
please. Will you send that text to me just so I can then show him and get him all wound up right before we go on air? I'm going to wait until like 2 minutes or maybe a minute before we go live, just get them all wound up.
Actually, do you want to be like, look what Brinson sent me? Like,
no. Send me a screen grab of like his string of texts.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm just gonna start looking through. I'll be like, oh, Brinson sent me something, and I'll just start reading through it loud.
Yes.
And then see if he puts it together.
Yeah. What time does it go live on HQ?
4 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Wednesday. So that's Tuesday. So if you're listening Wednesday, don't bother. I will be watching on Tuesday at 4 p.m. Brady Quinn, as always, a pleasure, buddy. Thanks, man.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.